760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. But, you know, you're giving us that joy, and I got some joyful people in the studio today. I got... Get you, Chuckle Bunny. What's going on over here?
Chuckle Bunny.
Hey, Chuckle Bunny. What's going on?
Josh, you are just a special guy. I'm telling you. We just love you.
Okie dokie. Thank you. And we got Dave Savage over here.
How are you doing,
Dave?
Real good.
Well, before this train goes too far off the tracks, you gotta. I think it's your pray day, Allison.
It sure is. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, in the midst of life's noise and endless distractions, help us keep our eyes fixed on you. When the world pulls us toward what is passing away, remind us, as your word teaches, that we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. That's from 2 Corinthians 4:18. Fix our hearts, Lord, on what truly matters, your truth, your love, and the promise of eternal life. When we grow weary or lose focus, renew our spirit and draw us close to you once more. May our every step be guided by the light of your presence until we see you face to face. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And, I'm going to say something really quick. I think pretty cool that happened yesterday. My Protestant step nephew, I think I got that right.
Okay.
He did a report on me for college. Yeah. He had to profile somebody. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Was it in a good light?
He had to do a case study on a former convict. No, that wasn't it. It was, you know, about my creative career path and comedy and music and radio. And yeah, and I, you know, got to, I think it was really cool. At the end of the interview, he said, what advice would you have for people who are getting into creative profession, you know, like comedy or music, or interested? Mm-hmm. And I was like, boy, here's the moment for evangelization right here. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
You know, so I was essentially going to paraphrase, but it was something along the lines of, you know, don't compromise what you want most for
yes.
what you want now. Stay close to Jesus and serve God and other people. And the rest will make sense. And yeah, don't compromise your values because
that's key.
Yeah.
As you go down this path, there's going to be innumerable bad influences that you could veer off to mm-hmm. in the entertainment world. Dave, I'm sure you've seen them in this world as well. And it's, you know, you just got to stay vigilant.
Well, and I think that applies not only like to, you know, like morals and mm-hmm. things like that, but also to your be true to yourself creatively too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't compromise your creativity for anything, you know.
Well, for what said. They say is going to be better and going to bring more listeners or more viewers, right?
Exactly. I mean, I remember back in the day I had a video that it definitely was getting some mini viral momentum, and later I had a bigger viral video, but this video is now it would be nowhere in the stratosphere of my what's compatible with my mm-hmm. you know morals and my faith.
Mm-hmm.
This was before I had any faith, though. I mean, I was like newly sober and no, you know, Jesus in sight. And later, as faith started to swell up in my heart and that proximity with God, increased. I took it down. I had to take it down offline, mm-hmm. you know, despite the fact that people were just applauding me for it and thought it was so funny,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like, you know, man, that was just fool's gold compared to what Jesus was offering
right.
me.
Was there any way to fix it, to make it so it wasn't?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I was just, no. But it's, you know, you're never outdone in generosity when you surrender
yeah.
something to God.
Absolutely.
And
right?
I think that's for everything, whatever vocation you're in, whatever you do, whatever you volunteer your time in.
Yeah.
It spills into everything.
And by the way, really quick, Dave, speaking of creativity, I think you're whipping something up that's pretty special for us, aren't you?
Well, because we got the comedy thing coming up.
The comedy show, sponsored by the way...
Atlanta's Funniest Priest.
Atlanta's Funniest Priest. Catholic Adopts Project. Mm-hmm. Monica Bosco Coaching. Mm-hmm. Firepower Teams. Mm-hmm. And Legacy Wealth with Deacon Gary Chance. Mm-hmm. I got that right off the top of my dome, man.
How about that?
And Dave is one of our special presenters because we have a lot of spiritual fathers. Dave is representing the biological fathers.
The biological fathers. Yeah.
Got it. So, and he's always making me laugh.
So I think we're going to have some dad jokes in there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's going to be the debut of Dadder Up.
Dadder Up.
Yeah. Dadder Up, Dave Savage.
That's going to be my catchphrase.
It's like, you're getter done.
Yeah.
Dadder Up.
And I stole that from you, but I appreciate you.
Well, I mean, I don't, yeah, it's not. It'd be really weird if I tried to do that on stage.
Right, exactly.
Just ahead on The Morning Quest.
Lucy Bonzi discusses their upcoming retreat, Invocation of the Holy Spirit. Our buddy Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. John of Capistrano. Father Rivak, pastor of St. Mary Magdalene in Newnan, Georgia, unpacks today's gospel reading. But next, Jesse Fearon, parishioner of St. Michael and founder of Jesse Fearon Royal Life on a Budget series, Money Habits That Honor God.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
Jesse Fearon, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel and founder of the website Jesse Fearon Real Life on a Budget, will be talking to us today about money habits that honor God. So welcome back to The Quest, Jesse.
Thank you for having me again.
I know in our last conversation we spoke about your book, Faithful Finances. So in that devotional, you talk about contentment. What does financial contentment look like in a consumer-driven world? And we surely do have a consumer-driven world, don't we?
Absolutely. I feel like we always have to go with our understanding that contentment and settling are not the same thing. You know, you can be content with a living somewhere that maybe isn't the best for your family, but that doesn't mean you have to settle for it, right? Like, you can still try to achieve moving somewhere else or, you know, like upgrading your life, if you will. Like, you can still try to do those things, but contentment is about gratitude, because you cannot be content until you are grateful for what you have. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's really this huge mindset shift, because contentment is the fruit of gratitude. And so, like, for me, you know, I live in a 1979 starter home.
Yeah.
It is a ranch house. It's 1,400 square feet. Now, there are people that live in houses smaller than mine, absolutely. But when my three children, when they were very, very small, the house felt like the walls were closing in on me. Like, messes were everywhere. It was very frustrating. I was like, you know, and all my friends lived in these big homes with like 4 or 5 bedrooms. And I'm over here, my little 3-2, you know, like very frustrated with my outdated cabinets and all this stuff, right? And so I would get very, very discontent over it. And so I started just practicing when I would feel like my almost rage happening, right? Where I was so upset, you know, I would just call out the things I was grateful for. Like, Lord, I am grateful that this house is so small. I can clean the entire house in an hour.
Yes.
You know, or Lord, I'm, you know, so grateful that my master bathroom, even though me and my husband both can't be standing in the bathroom at the same time because it's so small, it takes me 5 minutes to clean the whole thing because it's so small. You know, like, just little things like that where I just would declare what I was grateful for, even when I was super frustrated by the fact that my house was not what other people had or what I perceived I should be having. It was about finding that contentment. It wasn't about settling, so to speak. It was about being content where God has called me to be right now. You know, and I've mentioned previously on the show, you know, I drove a 2001 Toyota Sequoia for 11 years. And I struggled initially with contentment with that car for like the longest time.
Yeah.
But it was so great and so wonderful. And that car, driving it for as long as I did, allowed us to be able to save the money for me to now be driving a paid for 2021 Denali.
Yes.
Like, you know, we paid cash for that car only because I drove an older car for 11 years and was content to do so.
Yes.
Like, so I didn't settle for an older car. You know, we still upgraded, if you will, but it was the heart that changed behind it. It was that being grateful and thankful that I had a vehicle that got me from point A to point B. And it's the same now with this car that I have now that, yes, is a very nice car, but I'm still grateful and very, very happy to have that car. And I would be grateful even if the car was maybe not the car I really, really want, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I would still be grateful for that. And that's the fruit right there, is just that contentment of being grateful for what you actually have and understanding that truly, you know, as Catholics, we believe this, but sometimes we forget it. everything we have is a gift from God.
Absolutely.
Every single thing, whether it's our car, it's the laptop we use, it's our purse, it's our house, whatever it is, our children, everything, it's all a gift from God. And sometimes we forget that, but that's why practicing gratitude is so important, because you cannot have contentment without practicing that gratitude.
Oh, that's so beautifully said. So how can someone practice generosity even when they feel financially stressed? Because I know that's pretty tricky sometimes.
Yes. And I have actually struggled with this myself throughout my life, especially with my husband and I, when we were on the debt-free journey. And, you know, my husband was only making $47,000 a year. Yeah. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and we had 3 children in 3.5 years. And so finances were incredibly tight then. And so I would struggle, like if someone popped over at the house at dinner time, and like I would struggle to give them a plate of food, which sounds ridiculous, I know. But the truth is, like, I was afraid. I'm like, well, if I give them food, I may not have enough to feed my family, or I may not have enough leftovers, or, you know, like all these things going through my head. And I'm like, but I had to realize I was living my life with these like clenched fists and these this closed off heart. And like, God does not call us to that. He calls us to live with our hands open, both to give, but also to receive his blessings.
Yes.
Right. And so like, we can't have it both ways. Right. We can't like, oh, hold on to everything we have with this iron grip and then expect God is going to bless us in that.
It blows fear. You're living in fear.
Yes, exactly. You're living in fear. You're shutting yourself in the darkness. And so generosity, even when we're struggling, is being willing to open our hands and being willing to give, and also being willing to receive. Because I also think the receiving part can be hard. You know, some people maybe can give easier than they can receive, right? Like maybe you don't want to go and accept, you know, that meal train that a friend set up for you. Maybe you're like, oh, no, I can't possibly do that, because that makes you maybe feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, feeling ashamed and living in fear are actually sisters, right?
Yeah.
Like they live together. And so we can't allow either one of those. We have to be willing to open our hands and our hearts to both being able to give and to receive.
Well, and I feel like pride.
Yes.
I mean, even if you don't feel like you're trying to be prideful, when you really look at it and magnify into those situations, it's pride.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it was C.S. Lewis that had said that, you know, the greatest of all the deadly sins is pride, because it's the one that ushers all the other ones in. And if you really look at all the vices, you can actually see how pride is literally the one at the beginning, that you can't have these other vices unless you also have pride.
So what's one simple habit, you know, from the devotional that you wrote that listeners could start today? And people might not have the book, so share with us what kind of simple habit.
Definitely just writing out one thing that you're grateful for every single day, and then surrendering it to the Lord. Again, I've mentioned this so many other times here on the show, but you know, Jesus, I trust in you, and being willing to surrender it all. And that is always going to be easier said than done, and we can always put up our blind spots and you know, but ask God to remove those blind spots and be willing to help you live according to his will and not your will, which of course is very hard. But I do think it's important that that's why we write down, you know, one thing that we're grateful for every single day. So that way we can start to practice that art of contentment, which will make being able to say no to certain things so much easier, because we'll see them for what they are. We'll see, like, you know, the things that trending on Instagram, like right now, like one of the things that's trending is everybody living off family compounds, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if your family is not in a position to make that move, it's just your family's not in the position yet to make that move. Again, that doesn't mean you don't ever get that, but you got to find a way to be content with wherever God has called you to currently be. And just to realize, like, hey, well, maybe that's something that we'll get to do in the future, but the Lord will open that door when it's time. But if I take a crowbar to that door and try to open it now, I'm going to set myself up for failure and my family along with that.
Yes.
So instead, be willing to put the crowbar down and just let God open the door, if the door ever should be open for you.
Well, and I think too, with you saying, write something you're grateful for each day, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
Where you can go back and you can look and just kind of see how the Lord works.
Yes. Yes. And we have to be reminded of his, you know, of his miracles and of his mercies, because they are new every single day, right?
Yes.
His mercies really are new every day. And being reminded of that is so important and just so powerful, because life can be so hard, you know, and the devil is doing everything that the devil can to try to steal your soul.
Oh,
so,
yes.
You know what
and
I mean?
The joy
exactly.
that you have. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. He don't want you to be happy. He don't want you to go to heaven.
Way.
That's not where he wants you to go.
Yeah.
So he's trying to do everything he can. And so you have to put on the armor of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of those ways is when you practice that art of gratitude, and you can go back and you can see all of these beautiful blessings that you've been given. Like it's so powerful, mm-hmm. because, and also too, for me, like, and when I look back, I can actually see where God has saved like us from things that would have been catastrophic. Yes. And even at the time when we were struggling and I didn't understand, well, why is this door not opening? And I would get really, really upset because like I'm a control freak and I want to do everything myself. You know, and I would get really upset. Like, why is Lord, why aren't you opening this door? And I didn't understand why he wasn't.
Yes.
But then now when I look back, I actually can understand why that door did not open, and that it was a blessing that I didn't take that crowbar and just try to pry it open myself, you know?
Yes.
And so we just have to be willing to trust in the Lord and trust that he will open the right doors and that he will keep the wrong ones closed.
Bingo. And again, just say, Lord, if it's your holy will, open this door.
Yes.
If it's not, keep it closed, because you know things better than we do.
Yes. And actually, it's funny. I saw an interview with Dolly Parton's like back in like the '70s, and somebody had asked her a question, what was the key to her success? And she just simply said, well, I just ask the Lord every day to open the right doors and close the wrong ones.
Amen. And that's what we need to do.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, the Queen Dolly Parton has spoken.
Amen. Amen. Jesse Fearon, parishioner as St. Michael the Archangel and founder of the website Jesse Fearon Real Life on the Budget. Thank you so much for blessing us again with this beautiful message.
Well, thank you.
And if people want to learn more about you and the work you do, where could they go?
They can find me at my website at jessefearon.com, Instagram at Jesse Fearon, and my books, Faithful Finances and Get and Go with Money, are available on Amazon.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Lucy Bongi discusses her upcoming retreat Invocation of the Holy Trinity. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. John of Capistrano. Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia, unpacks the gospel reading, and that's next.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And just a reminder, if you'd like to comment on something you've heard on The Morning Quest or make a suggestion, send us an email to themorningquest@thequestatlanta.com.
The Morning Quest with Josh and Allison.
Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Josh.
We are blessed to have you.
Great, thanks. Okay, so Gospel, Luke 12, 49 to 53. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That's the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Set the world on fire.
Yeah.
So I really love this this gospel. And in fact, at my first assignment at St. Monica in Suwannee, we started a catechetical program there that we ended up calling a blaze.
Yes.
Focusing on this particular thing. Jesus comes to the world. He says, I came to set the world on fire, but I wish it were already burning. I wish it was already ablaze. Like, I've sent you so much already. Like, why hasn't it kicked off yet, you know?
Yeah.
And he's kind of sad by that. You know, you've got Abraham, you've got Moses, you've got David, you've got Elijah, mm-hmm. you've got Jeremiah, you've got all these people, and it's always like a false start. Now, obviously, this is not surprising when you understand who Jesus is and what he's come to do, because none of these other people can do what he came to do.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, he's just lamenting his frustration. And because he wants to make sure that people don't start thinking the way that we think today,
mm-hmm.
He says, do you think I came to bring peace? No. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring the sword. Okay.
Whoa.
So y'all quit complaining about social justice and peace, that's not who I am or the gospel that I came to preach. I came to preach mercy, which is very different
mm-hmm.
from what you guys are talking about, peace. And then when you look further in the gospel, John's gospel, the high priestly prayer, he says, Father, I do not pray for the world. The world is passing away. I pray for these, and not that you take them out of the world, but that you preserve them from the world.
So
Jesus doesn't mean to say that he wants everybody to be unhappy, or that he wants a division necessarily in people's families, but that he has come to cause us to make a choice. You can sit on a fence, but you cannot sit on the edge of a sword.
Mm.
You know, try it, right? There's no fence sitting when the word is being preached. You've either got to say, you know what, I'm for this, or I'm against this, because it's going to cut you in half if you try to sit in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And that's the division he's talking about. If a son wants to leave the faith because he wants to become a her, or if a couple choose to leave the faith because they are not faithful to the vows that they made to one another and they're going to get divorced, if a parent chooses to leave the faith and the kid wants to stay being a Catholic, like, these are the divisions that Jesus is talking about. What he's saying here is that it is not better for you to go along in your family just to have concord. It is way better for you to have discord in your family, but to be faithful to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the choice that he's making. That's the fire that he's talking
about.
And that's the only way you can establish peace. Peace doesn't come through a cessation of violence. Peace comes through the establishment of a just order. And the only just order in the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And it reminds me of this quote from St. Catherine of Siena, Father.
I love this quote you're about to say. I love this quote.
Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire.
I love that.
Mm.
And it's not going to be comfy. I mean, it's not going to be comfortable, but you will leave an impact.
That's 100% exactly what this gospel's talking about. Don't be what the world wants you to be. Don't go along to get along. Mm. Be what the Lord wants you to be, and let the world burn. That's fine. The world's gonna burn anyways, right? There's a phrase, and people misunderstand it all the time, but blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
And what people think is oftentimes they think that, oh, the blood, like blood relatives, blood. But actually, the phrase is actually the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. And one way you can take this is that friendships you forge in this world through, you know, shared blood, combat, or, you know, blood oath or something, is stronger than family. But really, it's the blood of the covenant. Your Christian identity is far more, it should be far more valuable, and is in fact far more valuable, but it should be understood by you to be far more valuable than your identity with your family, than your last name, or who you call mom or dad or brother or sister. And again, Jesus doesn't want you to not have a happy family. He wants the whole family to, if the whole family's with him, hey, you're gonna have a happy family.
Yeah.
But if half of the family's not with him, you're not gonna have a happy family. And if you do, it's not because the other half of the family's come over to Jesus. It's more likely the case that the rest of the family's gone over to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we just see time and time again, Father, people through the history of the faith, the martyrology, I mean, how true these words really, really become, right? Think about St. Thomas More, right? And he's about to go to his eternal reward. He's talking to his daughter, and I believe it's recorded.
Yeah.
He said, I die the king's good servant, but God's first.
Wow.
Yep. And then there's the line of Woolsey that is the inverse of that. If only I had served God as faithfully as I had served my king on his deathbed. That's in a line in Winter. That's in the play. I don't know if that's actual. I mean, what you're referring to is actually Thomas More's writings to his daughter, which are beautiful, because his daughter is trying to get him to come over to the world. His daughter is saying, Dad, please don't, you know, if she's batting her little eyelashes at him, saying, please, Daddy, don't get your head cut off. Just come and do the thing, you know, come and eat the meat sacrifice to idols. Come and do that thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's way better for me to die the king's good servant, because I'm looking out for the best interest of the king, but God's first.
Gosh.
So, that's again, man, you're pulling all kinds of quotes out of the back of your memory there.
Josh is amazing.
All kinds of things to do with this uh with this gospel.
Well, it's, yeah, you definitely always light the spark, Father. Now Allison has her famous question.
Here's the big one, big question.
Yeah, while the clock's ticking.
So, Father, what is a good takeaway for the gospel today? You know I love this.
Allison, I'm glad you asked. It's a complete surprise to me that you would ask that. Well, I think it's this, that social concord is good, but social concord can only be truly good if it's based in true peace, which can only come through Christ. So we never leave Christ for the sake of a human relationship, but rather we allow a human relationship to be judged by Christ in its fidelity to him. I will stay with Christ. If you choose not to, you may go your own way, but I will not leave Christ to come with you.
Wow. And that's, I'm going to have to say that prayer. God, help me be willing to be willing, or help me want what you want for me, as you so poetically shared was your prayer in our last reflection. Thank you so much, Father Michael Rivack, pastor of St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, for another amazing reflection. This is from the Catholic News Agency. Pope Leo XIV will soon name John Henry Newman, St. John Henry Newman, a patron saint of Catholic education. How about that? Honoring the 60th anniversary of Gravitissimum Educationis, the Second Vatican Council's landmark declaration on Christian education, Newman will join St. Thomas Aquinas as co-patron saint and will also be declared the Church's 38th doctor at the closing mass of the Vatican's Jubilee of the World of Education on November 1st. The event, running from October 22nd to November 1st, is expected to draw 20,000 pilgrims.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? And Newman, by the way, he's known to be an extraordinary educator and a great inspiration for the philosophy of education. Today, the Catholic schools and universities serve nearly 72 million students across 171 countries, a living testament to Noonan's enduring legacy in education.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Everybody, Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. John of Capistrano. And closing us out, Lucy Bonge discusses their upcoming retreat, Invocation of the Holy Trinity. By the way, remember our memory verse this week. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. That's Philippians 4:6.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey
with Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Well, Chuck, who do we have today?
All right, so today, October 23rd, is the optional memorial of the soldier saint, the renowned Franciscan friar, St. John of Capistrano. Mm. And again, October is just so chock full of great saints, and we're hitting the home stretch now, but this is another one that's much beloved. Born in Italy in 1386 during, you know, you have to think, are very tumultuous times. About one-third of the population and nearly 40% of the clergy perished at the hands of the bubonic plague.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this was going on. And, you know, young John, he studied tirelessly, going on to secure a degree in both civil and canon law. And that's a feat duplicated by another great saint, a man we talk about here from time to time, St. Alphonsus Liguori. He did that some 300 years later. But that's quite a feat to be able to...
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a very smart man, a man of talent, a man of discipline, a type A personality, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, as you read about him, clearly, to be certain, he was appointed governor of Perugia when he was just 26 years old.
Wow.
So a young, precocious lad, we may say.
I guess so. And he was not just a governor. He's a lawyer and a judge, too, at one point. So you talk about someone who legitimately had it all. The Lord must have really touched his heart in a profound way.
Yeah. And you know, and you could see it in the way he carried himself. He was an honest and ethical leader. He refused to succumb to bribes, steered clear of corruption, which was very easy to do back then. Certainly easy to do really during any time period. We see it in our own politics, both locally and across the world. But, you know, war would soon break out, and John was subsequently imprisoned in the aftermath of a battle against the Malatestas. He was actually engaged in peace treaty negotiations when this happened. So he's imprisoned, and it was during his time of incarceration that he did experience, Josh, what you were talking about, this deep encounter with Christ, and he just vowed to live his life for him.
And I actually heard he had a vision of St. Francis of Assisi.
Which is why he entered the Franciscan order.
Wow.
Yep, that's exactly what he did. And he studied under another great future saint, St. Bernardine of Siena. Now, this was a man who was known as just a prolific homilist. To this day, we talk about his ability to deliver homilies and to preach. And, you know, obviously John was greatly aided by his mentor because his preaching brought numerous Christians back to the church during that time. And, you know, many of whom had fallen away due in large part to, you know, prevailing religious apathy and a lot of confusion at the time. It's very prevalent, you know, during these days. I mean, it was said that merchants suspended their business activities as the crowds gathered to hear him to preach in public squares.
Wow.
In time, he gained a reputation for being a healer, and many of the sick who were brought to him to be cured were in fact cured. You know, the Turks captured Constantinople in the year 1453. John was commissioned to preach a crusade in support of the defense of Europe, and he would go on to lead a crusade to free Belgrade in Hungary, you know, working in tandem with the brilliant military strategist General John Hunyadi. They did score an overwhelming and decisive victory, praise God. And the siege of Belgrade was in turn lifted. But this
so,
is
and that was really critical in just religious freedom within the area. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, yeah, you look at these crusades, Christianity was on the line in all these stories. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Battle of Lepanto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were playing for keeps right there. If the Muslims win, who knows if we're here today? You know, so all these battles, these seminal battles from those days, just amazing that we were able to prevail. And it just speaks to the fact that, you know, God is unconquerable. You know, this is where he earned that nickname, the Soldier Saint. But the rigors of these intense warfares, you know, they ultimately took their toll on him. And, you know, as war inevitably does. And in the fall of 1456, he would fall victim to the bubonic plague and die shortly thereafter. And that was on October 23rd, which is why we celebrate him today. But he made it to 70. He lived a pretty full life at age 70.
Interesting fact, despite being in his 70s, he led troops alongside the Hungarian military in a successful defense of Belgrade.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Because back then, 70 was 70. Like nowadays, 70 is nothing. You see these people running marathons at age 70. But in those times?
Mm. I mean, that guy's got a sword in one hand and Metamucil on the other, but he was unstoppable.
Well, I have some wonderful quotes from him. One of them, those who are called to the table of the Lord must glow with the brightness that comes from the good example of a praiseworthy and blameless life. They must learn from the eminent teacher, Jesus Christ. So again, always calling people to a higher level, you know, higher standards. I mean, he was a witness to us all.
Yep, led by example for sure, and he lived it. You know, like I said, always ethical as a leader, and then, of course, when he went into the Franciscans.
I heard a preacher say this, and I thought this was a great point. If you want to star in your own, and I'm paraphrasing, but if you want to star in your own movie, it's going straight to DVD.
That's a good one, yeah.
But if this movie is about Christ, it's going to be a blockbuster hit. You'll never be the star, but it's going to be a blockbuster smash. That's and this guy is a good example of that. Notice the saints are only saints because they point to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. That's a great analogy.
Talking about quotes, remove from your lives the filth and uncleanliness of vice. Your upright lives must make you the salt of the earth for yourselves and for the rest of humankind. And he's the patron saint of judges, lawyers, and military chaplains.
All right. I wonder if we have any judges listening today.
Let's be real. A lot of lawyers need a patron saint. I know some heroic ones, but
it's a tough line of work.
That is. Especially with some people you might get called to defend. But anyway, let's thank God they have someone praying for him, as we all need. So later in his life, he continued to preach and minister despite the fact his health was failing. He died October 23rd, 1456, shortly after the battle in the town of Ilok. I think I'm saying that right. In modern-day Croatia. Succumbing to an illness that was contracted during the campaign, he was canonized by Pope Alexander the VIII in 1690, and his feast day is celebrated October 23rd.
What a wonderful final quote to share. The Lord who made the beginning will take care of the finish.
Praise God. St. John of Capistrano, the soldier saint.
Pray for us.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
It is 8:40, and we are ready to talk about St. John Paul the Great.
Yeah, the Great. What an upgrade. That's again, a pretty big deal.
No, it is. And you know what? We celebrated him yesterday, and I found something really cool on Church Pop. And it talks about some life lessons that are amazing that inspire us from St. John Paul the Great. And the first one, you are not alone in your struggles. Hmm. Isn't that so nice to hear?
Yeah.
Seriously. He said, there is no evil to be faced that Christ does not face with us. There is no enemy that Christ has not already conquered. There is no cross to bear that Christ has not already borne for us and does not now or bear with us. So again, Christ is always there with us. We are never alone. Number two, we were made for relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because sometimes it's easy to think, you know what? I've got this. Or My problems are not big enough. Let the Lord take care of all those other people that have bigger problems. Mm-hmm. No, in every aspect of our life, we need to have that relationship with Christ in the big things, in the small things, everything.
Everything, yeah. Because he desires intimacy. And I'm going to pivot to this quote. He says, it is Jesus you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else satisfies you. It is he who provokes your thirst for fullness and urges you to shed false masks. It's Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great, to follow an ideal, and to make the world more human and fraternal.
Oh, that's lovely, lovely, lovely. Number three, do not be afraid to share your faith. And we bring that up quite often here on the show, right?
Yeah.
And Pope said, this is no time to be ashamed of the gospel. Preach it from the rooftops. Break out of routine to make Christ known.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, absolutely amazing. And one other one, your full potential is found in Christ. When you wonder about the mystery of yourself, look to Christ. He gives you life's meaning. Only in Christ will you fulfill your potential. So again, what do we get out of this?
Yeah, he infuses our life with its meaning. And again, it's, I think, just a simple prayer is, Lord, help me want what you want for me.
Oh, absolutely. Beautiful words. And again, you can find that on Church Pop.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
We are so excited to close out the show with our friend Lucy Bongi discussing the upcoming retreat, Invocation of the Holy Trinity. That's next.
Finding joy in the journey.
This is The Morning Quest.
We are joined by Lucy Bongi discussing the upcoming retreat, Invocation of the Holy Trinity. How are you, Lucy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm great. It is so wonderful to have you in the studio. And I'm just going to give you a gentle suggestion to speak a little closer to that microphone. It's okay. And if you want the full experience, put on those headphones. There you go. Ooh. Now it's immersive.
So excited.
How are you, Lucy?
I'm so great. I'm so blessed.
Well, we're blessed that you're with us. And I'll just kick it off. This retreat is named Invocation of the Holy Spirit. So what inspired that focus? And how do you hope participants grow in their relationship with God through it?
Inspiration of the focus. All right. It was the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We host meetings on a monthly basis. The Paraclete Atlanta, where we're founded, or how we were founded, happens monthly. And we felt as if the desire of the Holy Spirit was beckoning on individuals' hearts. I mean, they were thirsty for it. They needed it. They needed reassurance that the Holy Spirit was there. They, you know, you name it, in terms of developing that relationship with the Lord. We tried our best to instill that into this community with the members that come every month. I mean, it happens at the end of that month. And to hope, what we hope for the participants to grow in their relationship with God is coming and fully dedicating yourself to knowing the Lord and building a foundation with him and building a better relationship with the Lord. So that in hand is one of the inspirations of Invocation of the Holy Trinity. And we hope that everybody gets a chance to experience it.
Yeah. And I think it's so important too. You know, the Holy Spirit can certainly get overshadowed and minimized in the spiritual life, right? 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Catechism 688 says the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver, is the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, is at the very heart of the church's life.
Exactly.
And the church is the place where the Spirit flourishes. So God bless you for helping people step deeper into that wonderful relationship.
God bless you guys for having me here to step into that.
No, talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm like, again, it's so important, right, to live in the Spirit. And this is a beautiful opportunity for people to grow in that relationship with the Holy Spirit. So on this retreat, you know, it has a unique emphasis from worship to intercession to healing and restoration. Could you walk us through what participants can expect to experience on those days at this retreat?
Yeah, of course. So the retreat focuses on a three-day theme. So the first day, we have Seek the Lord and His Strength. We are going to walk in there with an introduction of who the Paraclete is, how we were founded, where we've grown, invoke the Holy Spirit with praise and a lot of worship and singing and devotion. And we have a lesson from one of our one of the shepherds leading this retreat here today about seeking the Lord and His strength and what that looks like, focusing on Psalms 105:4. After day two, we have Experiencing the Holy Spirit, and we have our special guest, Deacon Keith, coming. He served at St. Peter Chanel for about 25 years.
Wow.
And I think he left his faculties about 2024. And he was appointed as the liaison to the Archbishop for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal by Bishop David Talley.
Oh.
So he has been serving there. He started Jesus Fire in 2017. So knowing all the experience that he has in the Holy Spirit and operating in the charismatic ministry in Atlanta, I think he's going to be such a great aspect to our retreat as well. Shepherd Serge, with his understanding of psychology and spirituality and the charismatic world for about 30+ years, they're going to be very big contributors. So we have those two great speakers on that day. We have other activities like the adoration, we have the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and there's going to be an opportunity for the field trip to the farm so people can do Stations of the Cross and receive that spiritual counseling and discernment that they need, appointed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
That sounds fantastic. And then
it's a lot.
A lot of good stuff.
And it just reminds me of that phrase, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. Mm-hmm. Second Corinthians.
Okay,
so how have you seen the Holy Spirit move through this ministry here in Atlanta and worldwide?
Worldwide. You know, Pope Francis was such a big advocate for the charismatic ministry. Pope Leo, too. I haven't seen any hesitation from him either, right? Mm-hmm. But Pope Francis really instilled my love for the charismatic ministry at that time. I started the charismatic movement about 7+ 8 years ago, I would say. And understanding that, you know, starting with the church and doing and abiding by the church rules and doing adoration and going to my daily mass and making the rosary a part of my life and all the foundations of the church and now wanting to take it a step further, right? Furthering my relationship with the Lord, understanding what the Holy Spirit wants for me, what direction that is. And I'm seeing that in a lot of these different communities. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus Fire that Deacon Keith started, I think, I went to one of their sessions and they started with a community from India. And another part, they have groups in Nigeria.
Wow.
And our foundation of the Paraclete started in Cameroon. We branched out to Europe and now we have residency here in the United States, a big population in Maryland and growing here in Atlanta. We're seeing it. People are hungry all over the world. They want to know God. They want to hear God. They want to see God. You know, what is God? What is the purpose of my life? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you may not just get that from regular day-to-day going of just church maybe and going to mass and not wanting to, just needing that more.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Well, yeah, and I think you're spotlighting the importance of community.
Yes, that too.
Right? In the fact that this ministry does have a worldwide thumbprint is it is accentuating that the mystical body of Christ is worldwide.
Yes.
It is not a localized phenomenon. So praise God that you guys are really emphasizing that and bringing community together, because Jesus said, right, we're two or more gathered.
Mm-hmm. He's
there
the
am I. Yeah.
Amen.
No, absolutely. So I know you were talking about adoration and different things that were taking place at the retreat. So how will adoration, Stations of the Cross, and spiritual counseling help people encounter God more personally during this retreat?
Well, we know that with adoration, it's a time of silence. Mm-hmm. It's really a time of seeing and knowing God and hearing from his voice, too, because a lot of times people don't understand the master. There's prayer, but a part of that prayer is listening. Mm-hmm. We operate, the Paraclete operates in a big listening format. So listening to the Lord, getting heart to heart with the Lord, the Eucharist present. I mean, God is present
right there.
Right there. Like, right there. Celebrity star is here. Yeah. And we have to listen to what he has to say.
Amen,
right?
Amen to that.
So we know that it's going to be a foundation for these individuals to come to adore the Lord, one, with others as a community, like Josh had mentioned here. But second, you know, the Stations of the Cross focuses on the passion of Christ and what the Lord went through for us. Mm. You know, he didn't do it for himself.
I mean, correct.
He'd get up and, you know, but no, he did it for us. And really emphasizing that portion there will allow individuals to form their own personal meditation, form their own relationships from those activities. So,
and when you talk about the cross and just what Jesus went through, again, in our lives, in our struggles, isn't it beautiful to know that we're not alone?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look what he went through and the ultimate price that he paid for it. Mm-hmm. So I think the Stations of the Cross is so powerful when you really pray it and ponder it in relation to your life as well. Because we have ups and downs all the time, don't we?
All the time.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And by the way, so you've got, I believe, is it Shepherd Surge brings a background in psychology and spirituality. So how does that kind of shape the way this retreat approaches healing and inner transformation?
Yeah, of course. Psychology is super important. Shepherd Sears has that. He has about 30 years in the charismatic ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, they founded in Cameroon and grew, I mean, in numerous ways. And it wasn't them looking for people. It was the Lord looking for God and us being able to establish that portion. Mm-hmm. But the psychology aspect is about the human mind. Right. So you need to know how an individual operates in the human mind. Do they have trauma? Mm-hmm. What have they been through? Understanding those specific instances will take another level of spirituality, because you need to understand, maybe is it forgiveness that you need?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, situations that you've been through that disables you from having a better relationship with Christ? Mm-hmm. So all that foundation has to be built, and he has built that. He has done his due diligence and assessing the mind, the human mind, and how that works to enable individuals to grow spiritually. So his mission, I mean, the mission itself is to lead others to hear the voice of God and discover their spiritual gifts to serve the world. Operates in the mind.
Well said. I have this quote from Saint Teresa of Avila in front of me. Almost all problems of the spiritual life stem from a lack of self-knowledge.
Oh, and it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, and because if God knows us better than we know ourselves, then as a result of growing in our relationship with him, we'll cultivate more interior understanding.
Right.
But I think it's really important to know if there are, you know, perhaps a psychological issue that needs to be addressed that can radically impact somebody's spiritual discernment.
Absolutely. So Lucy, for someone that's listening who feels spiritually dry or even unsure about attending this retreat coming up, what encouragement would you give them about what God might want to do in their lives through this retreat?
Right. So there's three, I mean, we talked about the three themes, right? Healing those inner wounds. It's a huge focus.
Yeah.
Knowing how to experience the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does the Lord want from me? I think there's two specific things that I want to say that it's a key takeaway for individuals. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And do not fear the Lord. Do not fear. I mean, there's so much fear in this world, and God does not operate in fear.
No.
He has a spirit of love, devotion, mercy, and he needs people to know the side of him. Yeah. And that's what we can bring for this retreat.
Well said.
And I love hearing that, too, because when you talk about fear, I've heard people talk, and I think even me in the past, it's like, oh my gosh, Lord, what are you going to call me to do?
Right.
What are you going to call? What if I don't want to do what you're, you know? So all this fear of the anticipation of what might happen, I think people put up a wall.
Yeah.
So truly understanding that he knows us better than we know ourselves, like you were saying, Josh.
Yeah.
Right?
Well said. Hey, so we got about 50 seconds till this thing clocks us out, but really quick, where can people go to learn more about this retreat?
So it has been posted on the bulletin. But they can also contact me. There's a flyer that I might be able to send to you guys to share called Invocation of the Holy Trinity, but it should be on the Georgia Bulletin under the retreat and spiritual section.
Wonderful. We'll put it on our show notes as well.
Yep.
Perfect.
Thank you guys so much.
God bless y'all.
Yes, yeah. God bless you. Thank you much so much, Lucy Bongi, for producing this upcoming retreat, Invocation of the Holy Trinity. Speaking of holy, why don't we close this thing out the holy way? Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.